Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 103 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos. Co-parenting in
chaos.
We are chaos.
That's all we are.
Our week is more than halfway over.
Thank goodness.
I know. Thank you,
Lord. And by the time this comes out, within just a few days after, you will finally get to tell a secret. You told two secrets, that means, this year. Do you remember what your first one was?
No.
What was it? The big 4-0.
I know.
See?
That wasn't so much a secret, because I think sometimes secrets are exciting.
That was an exciting one. This isn't going to be a traumatizing one.
No, this secret's going to be super exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, even though it's been a little bit rough, like it always is every week, we're happy and healthy.
We are. And our kids are all doing surprisingly well. Yeah. I do have to tell you, I came over here before you were even home. So I was just like, whatever, I'm just going to hang out. I'm just going to hang out for a little bit.
I found you lounging in a beanbag chair.
I was like watching TikToks in Jackson's room. So Jackson is this child that you never know if his questions are going to be, you know, sincere and he's really inquisitive, or if he's just trying to get under your skin.
Yes, so most of the time under the skin.
We had one of those moments, and this is a perfect what would April do, because I will just get your take. I had probably had a horrible reaction to it. So Jackson looks at me and goes, Mom, why do moms own kids more than dads do? And first of all, I don't know where this question came from or what elicited this inquiry, but I look at him and I was kind of like annoyed. So I was just like, Jackson, I said, nobody owns a child one more than the other. It's equal, parents made them. I said, why are you asking? Nobody owns kids. What are you talking about? And I kind of like dismissed it. And he was like,
well, we could go to prison for that.
He goes, well, the government does.
Oh, and my.
Everything in me. I was just like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I was like, Jackson, I can't have this conversation right now. But he started laughing because he knew what he was saying.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Like, I don't know how to answer that. You want to be like, okay, fair. But also, what kind of reaction was he trying to get from me?
The parent thing, I think you handled perfectly, because I would have said the same thing. No one parent owns kids more than the other. Everybody's equal in the parenting department. However, I do think the moms do more of the work as far as bringing them into the world.
If he was thinking of ownership as in the form of creation, like, I carried you.
However, as far as the government goes,
my FBI agent was listening.
I don't know about that response.
Because
you know I'm not political, and I'd be like, oh my God, you're going to have to ask your mom or dad.
Well, and how do I dumb that down for a 10-year-old?
Exactly. You can't even dumb that down for a 40-year-old.
Exactly.
So I have no idea.
Oh,
like,
kid.
What do you say? The government, they do own us, right? Pretty much.
Technically, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm still wearing a mask all day, every day. So somebody's owning me right now.
God, I swear, the puberty talk I was more prepared for.
No, thank you.
That's more my
alley. All you, every day. All the kids. All of them.
Because he asked if puberty was starting, because I told him he had growing pains. And I said, well, I had to really think about it, because I guess technically it will be in the next couple of years.
I think, right?
And then he asked if Tanner was done with puberty. And I was like, no, you know, boys go through puberty for a while. And I had to explain to him, you know, kind of what his body changes are
going to be. Oh, my. I'm so glad that I was not
here. It's easier with boys, because there's not as much. You don't have to. I will obviously be explaining.
They have wieners. I don't know anything about a wiener.
Well, like how they work.
Don't want to talk about it.
No.
Don't like wieners. Don't want to
talk about
it. I think
he's more looking forward to the hair growing.
Oh, my gosh.
That's his, like, sign, I think, of manlyhood. That's or what he thinks.
The least thing I love about puberty is hair.
Well, if I had girls, I'd be having the period conversation. Oh. I mean, I still plan on having that with my sons, but that's a very different dialogue.
You were going to tell them that?
Well, you have to.
Why? I don't even want to tell my girls.
I know. I didn't
Didn't Roy do it? Yeah, I made Roy. I can't. Ooh,
maybe I'll make Roy have the conversation. Yeah. We can just knock it out and get it all done. All the boys, we'll just sit them all down.
Yeah, at the same time.
Here's of your dads. Let's have this conversation.
Here's how girls
and boys
pubertize, and here's how boys pubertize.
Here's how bodies work. Yeah.
There you go. I give Haley a book, actually, so.
Shut up.
Don't mom shame me.
I'm not mom shaming
you. I just, that is so uncomfortable for me. I don't know why, but it wasn't a thing in my house growing up, so it wasn't a thing for my kids growing up.
Oh, God.
Everybody, now I'll talk to them about
I'll tell
things.
A stranger at the grocery store, I'm sorry if I'm grumpy. I'm ovulating. I'm on my cycle right now. I have no shame about
it. I still, to this day, no kidding. Like, if I had to have any feminine product whatsoever, I would probably call Jerry because he's always bought them for me.
He has like a million girls. He has a million daughters.
So he's got to be used to it, right? I broke him in on that. So you're welcome, daughters. That's and new hilarious. Wife. Can I just tell you something? You sent me this text this week and it made me think of it. I just love how much we love each other. Like me too. Our relationship is so amazing. Even though people don't get it, it's fine because we
they
get
don't
it.
Need to.
And I love how excited we are about everything we've done. And I think when you've risen from the flames in the depths of hell like we have, mm-hmm. that's when you really can truly appreciate where you are.
Yes.
In a situation or relationship. And I mean, you know, we've risen through lots of flames.
Lots of them.
I'm pretty sure I have 12 degree burns.
You know how they say phoenixes are representations of rising through the flames? Listen, I'm a phoenix with some like fried feathers.
Yeah. Maybe that's why my hair is looking fried.
I can't fly anymore. I'm full of ashes. It's not a pretty phoenix.
Oh, I'm ashy. But I do. I love sharing all of our positive co-parenting stuff. It just, I don't know. It just makes me
I think
happy.
We've almost gotten to the other side of it. Like, it's the fact that we're bio mom and stepmom is kind of an afterthought. We're really just best friends.
Yeah, we're best friends. And
everything else is just kind of, I don't know, convenient.
I know.
I guess.
It's convenient that we co-parent these kids, but really we're just best friends.
Yeah, we would be regardless.
I love that. I love that our relationship is not based on, oh, well, we have to get along because we've
it's
got
not.
These kids. It's
no, it's evolved from something.
We get along because we want to.
Yes.
We love it. So speaking of positive co-parenting, I got to tell you this story that happened this week. I'll preface it by saying that my middle daughter, because I don't think we've talked about this on the show, Taylor has been on our podcast before, mm-hmm. and she recently became a single mom, something that I don't think anybody really ever seen coming. And I've prayed, I'm sure you do, that my children would never have to survive divorce as an adult, let alone go through being a single parent. When I say single mom, she truly is a single mom. Yeah. Like, she has absolutely no help from Ty's dad in any way, which breaks my heart because you've heard Lauren and I talk about Ty, and he's our grandson, and he's our favorite of all of our kids. We love him, and we all pitch in and
I can never imagine a person not wanting to be in his life.
No, or any kid, but that kid, like, he's perfect. Mm-hmm. He's just, and when you have grandchildren, I'm telling you.
It's a whole different, it's just like being an aunt, right? It's just a different feeling.
It's life-changing in the most amazing way. Taylor has a great support system because she's got several moms and dads and we live all in the same neighborhood. So when I don't have my grandson, her dad does, one of her sisters or stepmom, pops, and even Mama Lo.
Mm-hmm.
We all pitch in anytime we're needed. So I checked with her yesterday to make sure that she was doing okay. I wanted to ask her if it was okay if we talked about her on the show. And she's like, well, what are you going to say? And I said, well, I'm just going to talk about, you know, the story about the other night when Ty was sick. And I just want to let everybody know kind of where you are, like you're a single mom and how it's going. And she's like, okay, you have to make sure that I told you that I haven't cried by myself in my closet while drinking a glass of wine and listening to Adele's 12 album once or even 17 times. You have to say that. I'm like, okay, I'll say that. I don't even know what that means. But I'll say that. But we've said so many times, and it's true, no matter how old your kids get, you will always parent and co-parent them.
Yes, you will.
Taylor's 21, and Jerry and I's oldest daughter is 24. Mm-hmm. We still parent them together. And we've not been married for over 16 years, yet here we are. So earlier this week, I had Ty, because Taylor works full-time and she goes to school at night. Tyler was really sick, so Jerry had FaceTimed when I was putting Ty to bed that night and wanted to know how he was doing. So we both agreed that he probably needed to go to the ER because he sounded really bad. He was coughing and wheezing really bad. So Taylor gets home and he had just fallen asleep and she's like, okay, I'm going to take him to the ER. And he hates going to the doctor. So both Jerry and I were like, we'll go with you. Mm-hmm. Well, because of COVID, you know, there's still some restrictions on how many people can be in there. So we weren't sure about it. And it's so hard because you see your baby going through something so difficult with her baby and you just want to be there.
Yeah.
And you can't. So anyway, she goes, takes him to the ER and she sends us a video. And this precious baby is crying and saying, I just want to go to mommy's bed. And it was so heartbreaking. So, of course, Jerry and I are responding and we're like, oh, he can come to Lovey's bed. And he's like, oh, he can come to Papa's bed. And she's like, well, nothing beats mommy's bed. Jerry says in the group text that Ty was a mama's boy. And we both agreed that he is and talked about how much he loved his mama. Jerry said he doesn't blame him because Taylor's a great mom, which mm-hmm. I agree. She is a great mom. And she's taken on such a big responsibility at a young age.
Yeah.
Then Jerry said something that was so heartwarming to me because we went through a horrible, horrible divorce. I mean, we didn't get along, I think, for about 3 years, about the same time that you and John mm-hmm. went through yours. But after she said all those things about Ty, Jerry was talking about how Taylor was a good mom. He says in the group text, well, she learned from the best. And aww. It just made me feel so good. Like after all these years.
So appreciated.
He's appreciative of what I've done for him as the mother of his children. Just as much as I'm appreciative of him. I just think people need to hear that. And
I love you and Jerry's story.
I do. Because it was horrible. Like we were not nice to each other. Mm-hmm. And I never, ever imagined in my wildest dreams that we would ever get to a place that was
mature
and positive.
Yes, absolutely.
And here we are after all these years.
You're a huge example.
Everything is doing well. Everything's going well. Last week, we discussed learning lessons and not the hard way. Also, red flags and why we overlook them. And we think we figured out that we're both a big red flag.
I'm a giant red flag and I run towards all of them.
Yeah. And we love actually collecting the red flags.
Yay.
This week, we're going to talk about changing your attitude in order to change your co-parenting situation. Something we all struggle, I think, with our attitudes. We still do.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, I've been in a rotten mood.
It's very hard to change your attitude in co-parenting when you feel like you don't have to because you're not tied to that person for any other reason other than children.
Yes.
And it's like, well, I don't have to go home with them tonight. I don't need to like respect that in this moment. It'll go away. I don't know. We find it much easier, I think, to catch an attitude.
Yeah. And because also you still have some residual anger from that divorce and you're like, ugh, I didn't want to be married to you. So I don't even want to.
I don't want to deal with
you. I don't want to deal with you.
Yeah.
Right. And you shouldn't have to in your mind. When we were going through our high conflict custody battle, I think we had terrible attitudes towards the entire situation, a lot of times towards one another. But in that situation, I felt like we were justified in our...
To be honest, I look back and I think everything... I honestly wish I could go back and do more of having a reaction.
Because, I do too, sometimes.
You know, I think it would have made me feel better.
Like, to let it... Sometimes you got to let it out. But I think it should have been done in a positive way. Like, I love those break rooms, you know, where you go in and break all the dishes.
Yeah.
I think that's what you need to have. You need to have a safe space that you guys can all go in and just say all the things that you want to say.
Like, you know, whenever you get in a fight with somebody or like you're fighting a girl like in high school and then weeks or months or years goes by and you're like, man, I wish I would have said this during that. That's very much how I look at my high conflict or our custody case. It's like, I wish I would have acted X, Y, and Z and done A, B, and C in that scenario. Or what if I had done that and it had a different result? Maybe that would have helped my results.
But I love how it turned out. So I guess we did something right by
I think it was
choosing
supposed
to take the high road and being mature about it. But, you know, sometimes you just want to tell someone when they're being a turd.
I mean, I look back on it now and for no other reason other than I was able to experience something that I know a lot of other mothers are probably experiencing and have experienced. So if anything else, it brought me relatability and it opened my eyes to what family court is really like in some cases. And it's absolutely unjust and unfair. And you have every right to have all those feelings. But I started looking at it in a different way of I had to go through that for something. You can't just go through things in life and not learn a lesson out of them.
And you're right. It's for a reason. And a lot of times it's not even for you. It's for others.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why we went through our horrible custody battle. It's so that we do have this platform now to tell other people you can be in the depths of hell, but you can come out.
Yeah. I'm not sitting here a fraud and not, I can't look at another woman and be like, oh, I don't get it. Or you can't relate to me. No, I get it.
Yes.
We get it. I promise. I want to be an example for you and to just give you a piece of hope. If nothing else, that there's another person out there that knows what you're going through. And sometimes that's the only piece of hope you can really have.
It is. It's really strange to look at it now because it's almost like it never happened because it's so, we're so removed from that. We're so far away from where we used to be.
I watch myself when I'm asked questions and like we were doing a live or, you know, anything. And I listen back to how I'm answering that. And we've talked about this before and how my answer has changed.
Yes.
And it's not so much the answer, it's the tone in which I'm able to express it. And I'm both grateful and sometimes also a little bit, I don't know, annoyed by it because I wish I could get through the real emotion so people understood the gravity of it. But I also don't want them to see the gravity of it because I want them to see the higher road of things, oh, right? Yeah. You want them to get a sense of calm. And that's very much how I respond to answers. So I am calm. I do seem unbothered.
I'm torn with that same thing too, because I really want to have an emotion. And I know we really try to laugh about a lot of things because that's just how we cope.
Yeah.
But I wish I could pull all of that emotion that I felt during that time and let it pour out just so people can see how bad it was to where it is now. Because I don't know that they get that.
Yeah. People get to see our lives now very publicly. Yeah. There is a piece of us, I think both of us, that really wish we could have like a time machine and go through it all again with a camera to show you guys.
Because it's unbelievable. Like it really is unbelievable.
And then I think you would get the full sense of absolutely everything. Our words and our writing can only offer so much of the narrative to
and
what
that was.
And I see
all the time, oh, we love your relationship. We love you guys. We love your friendship. Yeah, we
love
do
it too.
We love it so much because we know where it was at one time.
Yes.
Where we couldn't be in the same vicinity as one another without security.
I had to, I didn't have to, but I was doing a live and I was talking about some of, you know, I was the bitter baby mama.
We are so excited to have found Podcorn. The simple and user-friendly website made it so easy to sign up and begin utilizing all the site has to offer. Podcorn is a marketplace that connects podcasters to amazing podcast sponsorship opportunities, such as host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and so, so much more. With Podcorn, there is no middleman. All types and sizes of podcasters can browse and choose opportunities right on the platform. They can set their own rates and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivity. As a host, you never have to give up any rights to your podcast, and Podcorn's always there to support you during each step and to ensure that you're protected and compensated for the work that you do for the brands. The marketplace mission is to give podcasters transparency, creative freedom, and full control of how and when they monetize. Click the link in my show notes to sign up on Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities today. We would like to extend a huge thanks to Podcorn for sponsoring this episode. Explore sponsorship opportunities and start monetizing your podcast by signing up at www.podcorn.com. That's www.podcorn.com.
I was the bitter baby mama. Let me tell you about
how... I've been the bitter baby mama. I get it.
Let me tell you the things I did and the things that we went through. And this is why I reacted the way that I reacted or whatnot. And I tried to put like some, I don't know, oomph behind it.
Yeah.
But it was almost draining. It was silly that I was even...
It is.
I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I did throw a Pokemon book into the car and it like full force beeline to her head. I mean, yeah, that happened.
Like we just said a minute ago, talking about attitudes and wishing that we could have gone back and done more, said more and kind of been more aggressive. But I did do that years ago when Jerry and I divorced. Yeah. I did do those horrible things to Jessica. So I took a different approach this time and I'm glad. I'm glad I did that.
I think because you're glad that you stayed consistent with it. Like it eventually paid off.
It did.
And for those listening, we have an episode and we need to get what number it is because you and Jessica were answering questions about the times that you guys have with your co-parenting. Yeah. And my jaw, I was in the room for this, was on the floor the entire time because it was like watching my scenario. But
you were the April. I was the Lauren.
Yes.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was mind blowing to
me. And to see me now, because I mean, I have grown, obviously. I was 20 years old then. I've grown and matured, but I'm a totally different person than I was back then. And thank God.
We all do. You have to give a person the opportunity to go through kind of those immature. Yeah. Sometimes you need that lesson. I think I did as someone who dealt with a lot in my 20s and never really got the chance to take a breath and learn how to properly deal with situations like that because there was constantly things happening. So I never got that reprieve. I never got that chance to really sit back and like reflect on how my behavior was really nasty in those situations.
Because you can't.
You're in a fight or flight.
Yeah.
That's it. And I was in a fight or flight for a decade.
You're hurt and you're angry. And that's how I was. And
absolutely.
You just do what you got to do to survive. Mm-hmm. You almost don't know any better.
I think when you're in your 20s, the things that start happening to you that maybe are traumatic are unbelievable. So you're in a state of shock. Like, this can't be adulthood.
How did I get here?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So then when you kind of, now we're in our 30s, now we've experienced a lot of stuff, and I'm sure we'll experience much more, but it's not so surprising.
No.
Nothing is surprising.
No, nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah. I like to tell people, I may seem really laid back and unbothered, but really it's just a dissociation and a numbness.
It's the trauma.
The trauma.
That's what it is.
It's really all it is.
Thank you, too. When you mature, you realize what's important. Obviously, it's the children in any situation when you have co-parenting and custody involved. And I knew that my end goal, while we may have been fighting in court for reasons that were really silly if you think back on them, but I really wanted everybody to get along and for us to all be able to parent together.
Yeah.
And that is so important. I've read something the other day, you know, we're in those crazy groups that we were in, the support groups that really don't support. And we join them just like everybody does in the beginning in hopes of finding something that
grasp
some positivity and good advice. Well, this post was from a stepmom that said she wanted to brag because her stepchild graduated and they could only have 3 people attend the graduation. And her stepson chose her over his biological mom. That broke my heart.
Oh,
because we just had this conversation.
We did.
And I don't know the situation because she didn't go into detail. So the bio mom could have been on drugs or abusive or whatever. And in that case, I get it. But in our situation, if one of those boys, even though Jet, I've been in his life since he was a year old.
Yeah.
But still, if he turns 18, graduates high school, and can only take 3 people, I would I would bow out gracefully.
You would respectfully decline.
Of course I would.
I mean, this did happen to me recently.
Right.
My significant other, his youngest child, graduated kindergarten. And there were only a certain amount of people that were allowed to be there because of COVID. And the bio mom, she purchased 2 extra tickets, right? So like one was going to be for myself and one was going to be for her significant other. Her significant other wasn't really able to come or to make it. And I was like, I looked at Jake and I was like, well, you know what? Why don't you guys invite your family? She has family here. So that's a role that like, I appreciate it. And I would love to be there. But if family is more important and her significant other's not able to make it, then I would much prefer your family to be there. And we would do the exact same thing in my situation if my youngest was there. If John's parents were in town and we only had a certain amount of tickets, there would be certain bonus parents or even bio parents that would bow out to make that available for the actual family to the child.
Because
I have no qualms with that.
I don't need to be right there.
No, not at all.
I know my place and my role.
And I have my own children, right? Like I have my own biological children, which I don't treat my bonus children any differently. But I do know the importance of my roles in their lives at different points.
Yes.
That's just the reality of it. And I respect that by all means. You know, 5 kids is enough. Listen.
Right?
If I can have some hands and not have to raise all of them, by
all
means.
We're going to have plenty of graduations and births and weddings and all the things. So
many of them.
Yeah, we're going to be just fine.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think that some of the reason we get so heated in those moments is because we're almost very self-centered and we can't feel anyone else's emotions aside from our own when we're in those situations. Like, looking back, I remember being so angry and hurt, and I'm like, nobody's pain is anywhere near as bad as mine.
Of course you feel
so
that way.
So I acted out, I think, on that, because I'm like, how can no one understand my pain? It comes before anything else. Yeah. I didn't even think of my kids' pain. I was truly just in myself, I think.
I've been there. I think everybody's been there. That's very natural when you're going through something like that. I also think that it's hard for us because we have seen the light, and we know that all those things that people talk about, it's just not worth it in the end.
It's so not. Oh, speaking of those stepmom groups, I just before we came up here and recorded was looking at a post.
Oh, geez.
And it was a bonus mom who said she was so excited to get her stepdaughter for the weekend. Like, they were going to get her. And she went out of her way to not only wear a bonus mom t-shirt, but to make a post about it saying, I hope this pisses off the HCBM, you know, the high conflict baby mama. And all I could think was, ma'am, like, you're embarrassing yourself in this situation.
That's immaturity.
Oh, that just made me cringe.
And you're just asking, like, you're asking for chaos. Why?
I don't even own a bio mom. I own nothing that says mom on it, probably.
No, John bought us mom shirts for Mother's Day.
We haven't even worn them.
Well, we haven't worn them. Yeah.
No. And I think mine says boy mom, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't even think it has anything else on it.
I don't need anybody to know that I'm the bio mom, the dog mom, the stepmom, mom.
Sometimes I want to be the nanny sometimes.
I want to be that crazy aunt.
Yes.
When do I get that title? Why do you think we change our parental expectations after we divorce? This is where a lot of attitude comes from, because we suddenly expect our exes to be perfect. They weren't perfect when we married them. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden, they're supposed to walk on water and never make mistakes. Why?
Competition. You have now become a competition.
I am competitive as they come.
And, you know, I think about it and I look back and I'm like, was I afraid that they were going to choose their father over me? But when John and I were married, Jackson did choose his dad over me 9 times a day. He was a daddy's boy. That was his preference. It didn't bother me while we were married. But as soon as we got divorced, it was like, no, they have to remember me as their mom. Like, what are you talking about? I am better. I don't know. I guess that's just ego of not being chosen, not being the chosen one.
I have a fear of rejection from anything.
We can't handle it from our kids, though.
I don't want it from my kids. I mean, good Lord, I ejected you from my body. Why would you not pick me over anyone?
Right? Like, I have your back no matter what, and now you're not going to have mine?
Yeah, that's not okay. But we're adults. We got to remember, like, they want to love everybody, and we can't expect the dad in our situation to be perfect. We're not perfect.
But in the eyes of our children, that person is their hero. Like,
yeah.
Here's what I think a lot of people, when they don't understand why you could get along with someone that maybe you didn't have a good relationship with or a good co-parenting initially with, your child doesn't see that person through your eyes.
No.
Try seeing that person through your child's eyes, though, and react to things according to that.
Exactly.
No matter what, that person still holds their parent on a pedestal, and they should, and you should support that and treat, I think, the other person just accordingly, just like that. That's who gave you this child to begin with.
Yeah, they wouldn't
without them, they would not. Absolutely. Yep, for sure.
Start wishing those that do you wrong well. If you can do that, forgive others where they lack, you're going to get so much further in your co-parenting.
Absolutely.
That attitude is going to flip like
you would never believe.
Exactly. If you're an example of how you want to be treated.
Yes.
You've got to demand what you want. Not, and it doesn't have to be in a negative way, or you don't have to come on so strong. But if you start treating that person how you want to be treated, they're going to eventually come back and be like, ew, why is she being so nice? Or why is he being so nice? Well, it's called respect.
You show people how to love you.
You do. You absolutely do.
If you are a bonus mom, show that bio mom how it is you would want to be treated in your situation and in hers. Put yourself in her shoes. I mean, really put yourself in her shoes. That is another person, and you are only a bonus mom because of that woman.
That's right. If you push yourself to use your situation in a way that it will improve your life. Like how we use our story to promote positivity. You have to appreciate what you're going through at, mm-hmm. at the time you're going yeah. through it. And say, you know what, here, what you just said earlier. This part of my life, I'm going through this phase of my life because something is going to come out of it.
Yeah.
If you think that something positive is going to come out of it, then that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you dwell in the negativity constantly, your attitude's going to, it's going to stink.
You're going to be miserable. And yeah. I don't want to live a miserable life. It's not a good look on me. I don't look attractive with misery.
Misery ages you.
It does.
It's not okay.
And you're doing it for such a small amount of time.
You are.
Because you're going to look back and then you're going to have wasted all that energy and aged yourself and just deprived yourself of the positives in life and the good aspects of life. Not every single thing in your co-parenting is going to be a win.
No.
You may only get one win. Take that win, though, and praise it. Hype it. Keep going with it. Cheer it on and it will grow.
It's give and take. That's life. Life is give and take. Sometimes you're going to give a little more than you get and vice versa. It's just going to happen.
In the end, you... And your child, though, you're doing this for your child. Your child is winning the more that you push through.
That's right. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this in a prior episode, but you are in charge of your own attitude. Mm-hmm. You get to decide how you react. Every action doesn't deserve a reaction.
Absolutely.
Some great, great advice.
I wish I would have need to take really soaked sometimes. That up more yeah. in my younger days.
Another thing. If you really want to have a good attitude, you've got to surround yourself with people that are positive. The groups that are out there that all they do is promote negativity and bashing the other parent, that's not what we're about. We're never going to be about that.
And just reading that stuff is filling your mind.
It does. It kind of makes you energy. Think, oh my gosh, am I doing the wrong thing by being nice? No, you're not. You're not.
It's like, you know, when you're at the gym, you listen to certain playlists. Why? Because they hype you up.
Oh,
they
yeah.
pump you up. They keep you awake. Well, reading negativity or involving yourself in those conversations around negativity, it's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. You it's may hyping not, you up for the negativity.
You may not necessarily be involved in it because you might not be speaking, but you are around it. You are letting it into your energy, into your field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking over more than you think.
And if nothing else works, you just do what Lauren and I do, which is laugh at the trauma.
Oh, I laugh at the trauma. I'm a queen of it.
We just laugh at all the trauma.
Bring me your trauma and I'll make you a joke.
I wish sometimes we wouldn't. I wish sometimes we could really say,
horrible coping mechanism.
Oh my God, this horrible thing happened. But I end up laughing about it because you know why? Because I survived and mm-hmm. laughter is happiness. And I'm just happy I survived it.
Absolutely.
That's yes. it. I'm happy that I survived. I'm not sure I'm going to survive much more, but
hopefully there's not much more to have to survive.
I mean,
though.
It's like, damn, I've already been through everything. What else? Just kidding. That is not a test.
The universe is like, here, hold my beer.
Yeah, here, hold my beer. I'm going to show you what you can go through. Get in touch with us, guys. We love to hear from our listeners. Please send us topics that you want us to discuss. You guys have been doing so good at that. Make sure you check out our Blended is Better merchandise. We're actually working on some new merchandise, and hopefully we'll have that released on our website.
We're going to have a lot of new content
oh,
coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We
and
are.
And some new, I guess, photo shoots.
Yes, we're going to do some new photo shoots. Get a lot of new things coming, but check out our website, pastchaos.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, where we go live every week and give you a glimpse into our real world of chaos.
Yep.
If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to, download, and rate our podcast. Don't forget also to stay tuned because next week we've got huge news like blow your socks off.
It's the biggest news of April's.
My whole life.
Her whole life.
Okay, call in the Kirks. I really hope that everybody stays.
I do too. I always listen to these parts though.
I know. I wanted to say that in the beginning. Don't forget to listen to this. Not that this one's any more special than they all are, but I think sometimes they're really funny. We had a follower question that was sent in from our email through our website. Sometimes I'll just respond to them via email. Most of the time that's what I do, but I really felt compelled to answer this on here. At first, I was like, you know, that kind of upsets me. But people are allowed to have their own opinions, and that's fine. So This woman writes in and says, how is an emotional affair any better than Lauren's affair with John? John isn't going to change. He seems to thrive on the newness of a relationship. How would April feel now if he had a friend like she was to him back then? Would she believe it if he said he was only friends with a new woman? Good luck, April. You'll need it.
Okay. That was really aggressive. You're going first. For one. Okay. I did want to clarify just one thing with that statement, because like I know where she's coming from and whatever, you can have your opinions, but April, now I'm going to answer for you.
Okay.
No, she would not be bothered by that now. And I'll tell you why, because during that time, if you read the blogs and you listened to the podcasts, I was telling people, and we still tell people, there was very much two different sides of that story happening. So it wasn't me being told April was a friend. John was very much saying, like, I'm with this person. And he was portraying that to me to make me jealous. And then to her, something very different. So, like, we had when I say we had two completely different worlds happening, that's how it was. So like for that scenario to ever be played out now in real life, it would just, I don't see him ever doing something like that again.
I mean, if he does,
he's too old for it. Like John knows he's made mistakes. I do think he's a codependent person. That just means he doesn't like to be single. Like, whatever.
Okay. There's lots of people that feel that way. For the comment of he thrives on the newness of a relationship, doesn't everyone love the newness of a relationship? It's almost like a drug.
Oh, I hate the newness of a relationship. We are very different.
So most people love the newness. It's a high you get. The newness in a relationship is great. And I think that's why a lot of marriages don't last, because you're searching for that butterfly feeling that you had in the very beginning.
It's intoxicating for sure. I think for John, a lot of the reason his relationships ended were, there was toxic in them, and maybe it was caused on his part, but also him starting something new was a way to kind of, I think, forget about the past. Mm-hmm. And move to something that was a clean slate. And that's a trait that John has. I'm sure it's one he's well aware of and he deals with all the time. He likes to just kind of sweep things under the rug and start fresh and start new. Everybody has a different aspect of that. I don't like starting new because it gives me anxiety.
I hate starting over.
It's not fun for me. I don't find butterfly anything. I find anxiety happening.
I do love a new relationship and how you feel, because I love learning about people and all that stuff. But starting a relationship is really
terrifying.
It's hard work. Hard work. I just want to touch on one thing. I didn't go knock on John and Lauren's door and interrupt their happy marriage to disrupt their lives and steal her husband.
No, we were being told two different things. Like, that's what people just really don't understand.
When John and I met, Lauren and John were separated. Lauren wasn't even living there when we became friends. When Lauren came back, I told John, I will stop being your friend if it's causing a problem. I told Lauren the same thing. It wasn't. When it became a problem, then that was it.
To be fair, I don't think you ever knew it was becoming a problem, because
because I wasn't told that it was a problem.
Absolutely, that's what I would like people to understand.
So we had it kept been, very I'm not separate. A homewrecker.
No,
and even if I was, that's my prerogative.
True. Hey, I mean, I technically was.
You know, it could be worse.
It can always be worse.
That just didn't happen that way. And like Lauren said, if John wants to go make friends with another woman, I hope she likes kids, because she's going to help us out. I hope she can cook.
Sister wife number three. Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
Stay tuned. Season 4 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos. We're adding a new wife. Hope she's ready.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com.
Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.